Sorry. Pocket. All right, we have our pledge. Make sure Gavin stands up.
I pledge
Last
allegiance
to
to
the
the
flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, I'll let you do roll call.
Bill Cover.
Present.
Jeff Jones.
Here.
Craig Lutz.
Yep.
John Dashner is absent, and Sharon Tobias.
Here.
Also with us is legal counsel Gavin Ralphs, general manager Tyler Mayo, Annalise Gill, customer service representative, and myself, Kathy Powell, office administrator.
John's coming.
Okay. So thank you all for being here today. Our first item is the public comment. I moved on. Okay. Does anyone, is there anything on the agenda that a shareholder would like to discuss? No, hearing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar. Items are expected to be routine. Or is there anything that a board member would like to remove for later discussion? Remove from the consent calendar. I didn't read the whole thing this time. I figured you guys know. The meeting minutes, the water usage, or the financials. Did anyone have questions? All right. I think we need to make a motion.
Move that we accept the consent calendar.
We need a second.
One second.
Okay. And the vote, right?
Yes.
All right. We need to do another roll call.
Bill Cover for the consent calendar.
Yay.
Jeff Jones for the consent calendar.
Aye.
Craig Lutz.
Aye.
Sharon Tobias.
Aye. Okay. Motion carries. Excuse me.
General manager.
I'll start with well,
You want me to do the
better.
pictures?
Yeah, you can pull those up. I'll start with we had to fix two sample taps. That was one project that the field crew did for myself. Actually, I didn't have to meet him out there. They took them apart. There was just a gasket in the bottom that had pushed through and they wouldn't shut off. So they pulled them apart, found it was just one nice small gasket. It was a quick, easy repair. That was one of the nicer things they did that kept me from having to go out. Another thing we did was at the treatment plant, we moved away from AT&T and we got Starlink. So currently we're running Starlink down there and we're in the process of getting Nextiva ported over for our phone. The cost was just becoming astronomical for AT&T for three phone lines, and two of them were basically obsolete now. We didn't need them anymore. And the internet, and every time it rains, it would go out. The phone would go out and the internet would go out. We'd have to call a technician to come out. They'd come 4 or 5 days later, find a new pair, and then we'd have phone back up and running. So it's been a lot better since we switched.
Starlink is satellite.
Yes. Yeah, it works off of satellites and
Is it getting much rain fade impacting it?
this is the first big rainstorm, but the first one we didn't have any. That it was just becoming too expensive and having a lot of problems with it. So that was one of the
You can feel roughly what you're paying for AT&T for the year or a month or something.
month is over
About
700.
700 a month.
And there's Starlink, same as Resident, like 150 or 170 or something like that.
The startup for the first year was $85 a month, and then it will go to 120 after that.
And you had to just pay a couple hundred bucks for the hardware.
Yeah, it was actually on sale. It was $85 for the hardware.
I've seen it at three. I get these emails, $300.
Yeah, so for the big home one on the Starlink website, currently it was $85. So it was kind of a no-brainer. We already had an extra Nextiva phone, and we were paying for that line. That line's just going to get ported over there, so there won't be any gain in the phone cost. So that's going to be a big savings for us for the year.
Hi, John. Okay.
And so we have, I have a little slideshow here showing our three bigger projects we've been working on. The biggest one has been the tank four, the cleaning and coating of the tank. This first picture here is the inside of the tank before it's been cleaned. You can see it's real dark in color, a lot of brown. Couple here. You can see the scaling on the wall, the line that's going to be iron magnes. That's up higher there on the second panel. This is the hatch when you come in, and this is just like tubulars rusting that's happening inside where there was pitting going on the metal, because there isn't the glass infused part of the tank in that spot. And there's the other half of that circle. So it was eating away at it pretty bad on the inside. That's just the drain on the floor there. That's going to be the outgoing pipe that runs the full length of the tank and the floor. And then this is going to be one of the cathodic anodes. There's eight of them in there. And they were probably down to about 40% life left in them. A couple of them were getting pretty bad. So we decided to replace those as well. Here's where the fill pipe comes in. That bottom part is cast iron, so that's why you see a lot of rust on it, and as well as the dresser, it just looks terrible. So, and then there's the 90 on the outtake pipe, more tubulars and a lot of rusting going on the cast iron. And just another picture of that. That right there is the sensing line. So for CCWD, it just works on an altitude valve. It just senses the pressure in there by the elevation of the tank, and that valve open and closes. So getting that cleaned out was a big plus for us as well. Here's where they kind of just taped off the bottom here, and they had already in this picture acid washed the sidewalls. That one looks pretty dark. So that one too, they're, it's like a vibrant blue compared to the dark colors that were on it. So it did clean up really well.
What do you use to clean?
It's an acid.
Muriatic.
Yeah, it's a NSF approved acid. And then so here's the hatch after they coated it. They coated that area, and that'll keep it from rusting and pitting for quite some time. And there's the drain in the floor again. So they clean that up, and they have the pan on there. And then here's where we put on a new mechanical joint 90, a new dresser. And they coated the cast iron parts where the rust will build the most. Same picture. And then that's going to be the level float for the level gauge. In the last tank, it actually came disattached from the floor. In this one, it was still attached to the floor, so it was nice and easy just to coat right over it and protect it from more corrosion, to where hopefully the bolts won't break free and have it dangling in there like the last tank was. And there's one of the new cathodic anodes, and another one there. You can see there's eight of them that surround the floor. You can kind of see them on the back edge there on the wall. And this time we only did the pan in the floor and then up the wall to the first bolt seam. The last one we did the bolts, we were concerned about it leaking because we wouldn't be able to get back into it without getting the temporary tanks back up there and going through that process. This one is much easier. We drain it, we valve CCWD water, and the CCWD water is going to stream into the system. The only downfall is we don't have a bunch of fire suppression and storage built up.
Well, it looks good.
So
they coated all the brackets. Now you're fine. They coated all the brackets on the floor, holding the pipe across the floor.
Is that
all the
epoxy bolts. Coating?
It's called a polyurea. It's the same product that we put in there. It's a type of epoxy. It's a two-part. Make sure it's a little rubbery feeling. And then when that starts to have any issues or it bubbles in some spots, they'll cut that away, and then they use a harder one in those areas to help seal it down. And they will be three coats in it in this picture. So then another big project we had, the surge protector in well four went out about midsummer. And we didn't have the surge protection in there through three phase, so that was pretty dangerous to not have. It happened during a power outage that we had throughout the summer. So we had Arthur Electric come in He replaced it. These are the actual three phases right there, and two of them were out. And then this is the new piece of equipment we purchased. That one was somewhere around $6,700. They had to custom build it. Of course, like most things in technology, the old one was outdated and they no longer made it. So we couldn't get a hold of it and just replace what was in there. And then the last thing that we did here is we, and most of you have probably seen it, we removed the large oak that was out in front of the office. There were two other smaller cedars that were touching it and got damaged over the years from the growth and things falling on them. So we removed those cedars as well. We did have to have a crane service come in and help move it.
Hang on a second. You want me to go back?
Yeah, go ahead and go back. So we had to have the crane come in, piece it out, and you can see Wes there in the background. We had to do traffic control. We did this on a Saturday to try to minimize people going to the post office, and we tried to finish before 1 o'clock during package pickup. When you're going to get a bunch of people in back.
Were you out of there by one?
No. We were done with the traffic control for the most part by about 1 o'clock, but most of the people in town had already came by and knew to, it was quicker just use Henry and go around. Because we left that area open for them to go in and out of the post office and up and down Blagan.
I happened to go to the post office just at the time they were doing that, and it was unbelievable how efficient they were in all ways, traffic control, safe, and the way they brought it down in sections was the crane company, the owner was the operator and did a great job.
Yeah, and that's Kendall up there, the tree faller that we hired to do this project. So, he took it down in, I would say about 8 foot, 10 foot lengths. The oak tree had to be a little bit smaller because it was so big around.
The base was hollowed out by about 16 inches.
Yeah, the base had a good hollow out spot. The piece over the road here to the left side of the picture, it was completely hollowed out all the way down it. There was maybe about 2 inches of oak on it.
Yeah.
It was just waiting to fall.
A good windstorm, somebody might have lost the car.
And so this is just another picture of, we got that cedar down that he was just up in and working on getting more of the oak down. And you can see here where they just set down the cedar there in our driveway to help speed up the process. And there's Kevin. You can actually see a large piece of oak that he's craning on the crane right there in front of the post office as he's swinging it around. And then he would swung it around to about where Kathy Parks are to be there. we set it all. So that was a pretty long Saturday. I want to say we were finished around 4:30.
That's it.
Yep, and that's the last one of the slideshow. The only other thing that we have, and most of you know, I reached out about the holiday dinner. We'll be doing that on the 5th at Sequoia Woods. I'll get a menu and send it out and get what you guys would like.
Really?
Yeah.
It's on the 5th?
Yes.
That's right then for me? Or?
Yes. That was the one that.
That's the one you're supposed to sell your wife on.
Yep.
Yes.
And she said, okay.
December 5th. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks for working all on a Saturday. That was a long day. We appreciate that.
I was reading the employee handbook. Did you go over 12 hours and have to pay double time?
Not for myself.
They didn't.
No.
They didn't.
No.
They would have had to start at 4:30 a.m.
Wes was on his regular day. So he got a half of overtime that day. And then I'm salary. So.
All right. All right. Thank you for your report. Unfinished business. We have 2026 water service rates.
So I can fix those. So for the water rates, we have decided on the $18 increase, which was 2.65% of the base rate. And that's mostly the cabins with a meter. The lots and the combined lot fee didn't change at all. The USDA fee didn't change. So we're looking at the $8 increase over six payments Over the six payments. And then we increase the consumptive rate to $2.60. That's something that the board will need to set on this part.
So
what we're proposing was $2.60. And that was based on the averaging of the CCWD cost plus their increase, which will happen again in July 16th of 2026, and our cost of water.
It was $2.20, and if you recall, when we started looking at it with more detail, what, like 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there was a number of years where it didn't get increased. So for a consumptive charge, we were charging a lot less than the cost of water.
We were selling it for less than.
We all agreed, yeah, that doesn't make sense, but we didn't want to catch it up all at one point in time.
Right.
So it's a number of years. So we're pretty much caught up now. I think we're within 11 cents of the average or something like that, if you average CCWD versus ours.
Yeah, it was $2.71.
So we went up, I think it's a 13% increase or something like that, which, yeah, sounds like it's a lot, but it's just getting us back up to where we need to be. And the other thing that exacerbated a little bit was, you recall, a year or two ago, CCWD realized all of a sudden they didn't have any money. So they increased their rates quite a bit. So we had to kind of then catch up with that too. So,
yeah.
But now I think if you look at their future rates, I think they're down more in the 7% range as opposed to the 13% they had the prior year. So,
yeah, they're going to be going from currently for us, it's $2.91 per 150 feet. In July of next year, it'll be $3.20. Yeah, it's going to keep going up for CCWD, at least in their plan, and then they'll do another Prop 218 fairly soon. Actually, they had discussed it in the meetings that you and I went to, that they were only going to go 3 years, and then they were going to discuss making an adjustment for 26 and 27. But I haven't heard anything.
They had a lot of public. They had a lot of backlash from the shareholder from their rate base. So I think they had to.
Yeah, and talking to them recently when they increased it this year, even they got a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're going to review it, and hopefully it won't be at this scale. But currently, that's what we're looking at. So making a budget, we have to be prepared for what we have on paper now.
So Tyler sent this information to the. What do we call now? The Finance and Rates Committee?
Yeah.
Which is Bill and myself. And we had a conference call. We had a conference call last week and discussed it along with the budget. The things have to tie into the budget.
Right.
And after going through everything, we were comfortable with management's recommendation on the $18 per year rate change plus the increase in consumptive charge. Yeah, I mean, the overall 3% increase, 3% increase, or it's 2.65. I mean, that's certainly less than inflation, and it just doesn't amount to many dollars, $18 a year. So,
right,
we were comfortable with it.
And I think when we did the math, it came to. Is it
9-12 a year
for the water?
So it's $76 a month for the base rate and the USDA.
Yeah. And you get 700 cubic feet or 350
a month. Yeah.
Talking to a friend at Meadowmont, who said with sewer, they're averaging $500.
Yeah,
it's really
ambulance.
Every
other one.
You have electricity?
I have the same one.
Sewer charges get pretty high.
Yeah,
I can see that here.
So what we'll be looking for today, I believe, is yes.
Yeah.
So to adopt the rates, we're going to need a motion and a second. What motion?
I'll second.
Great. You guys are ahead of me.
We know we're still slow and we can keep up with it. We're trying to challenge to see whether we can speed up.
All right, can we do a roll call?
All right, for the rate, Bill Cover.
Yay.
Jeff Jones.
Aye.
Craig Lutz.
Aye.
John Dashner.
Aye.
And Sharon Tobias.
Aye. So motion carries. Yay. I think they don't need to do that. Instead of saying anonymously, it's unanimously, right?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Next one is the budget. Yeah.
We make it bigger.
Yeah. As I've got it on the screen, I'm like, that hurts my eyes.
I wish your item printed out for me.
There we go.
Me too.
There we go. Yeah, I printed out so everybody has. Yeah.
All right. Who wants to?
Pretty much it's what we had just talked about. I mean, you can see on the side in the notes, there's the $18 increase, the $2.60 per 100 cubic feet over the allotment. The CDs, everything that we've been doing is looking really good for 2026. So we're going to be, yeah, we look really well for what our income is coming in.
Oh, okay. So that's why.
Okay.
I only
so we shouldn't
one
have too many issues with being able to pay our bills, I guess. So the income part and then being able to put away money in our capital asset and the USDA repayment, all of that looks well. The only one that we pointed out when we were talking in the committee was the truck purchase. We'll be getting rid of the Ford Ranger. This next year and purchasing another small pickup similar to that, whether it's a Ranger or a Toyota, something along those lines. From what I have looked up currently, we're looking at about the $45,000 range, depending on brand and what's available during that time.
We better off buying a Toyota.
They're all the same.
I mean, for service.
Oh, yes, because we have two, like, one F-250 and one 2500 GMC, and then so we'll have three smaller vehicles that are on gas and easier to maneuver throughout the subdivision, especially with like the Ford F-150. It's got a long bed and a king cab. It's hard to maneuver around when you have a trailer because the two larger ones are for towing the excavator, plowing, those type of items.
And we're looking at $45,000 for a small pickup.
Yeah, looking at over 60 for something now, like an F-250 or a utility vehicle. They had those on sale the other day over in Sonora. Kathy gave me a flyer regarding them. I looked them up, and they were $63,000 easy just to start for something like this. Right? It has the boxes on it. It's a like a work truck, like you see CCWD ones driving around, or a Mazingo truck.
Four, you bought one, right? And it was 44,000.
Yeah, that was the Toyota. Yeah, that was our newest Toyota.
Yeah.
So after we get it and then put a box in it, and then we have to get studded tires if we purchase it during this winter, it's going to be somewhere around that ballpark again.
Who gets to drive that one?
It's one of the guys over in the field.
Okay.
I'm still waiting for him. Yeah.
And then there are no big projects budgeted for next year. So
right.
Just from overall cash flow perspective, the cash, you know, we were spending a lot of cash on projects this year. That kind of that cash is going into the
Yeah, we're caught up on all the projects. We've cleaned the tanks. We've coated the tanks. We did Boro Court. We did the cross-country pipeline. Where I think the next biggest one is like something 6 years down the road, and it's the meter replacement when the batteries and the meters are going to start dying.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that one's going to be around $500,000. That one's in the capital asset plan.
When they put that in the plan, did they include a cost to have a firm install them or not? Do you remember?
That I don't remember. I'd have to go look at the capital asset plan and see if that was something they looked at. I believe so, because there's not going to be a way that two or three guys is going to pull and install 1,720 meters in a reasonable amount of time.
Right.
And you're not just changing the power source, you've got to change the whole meter.
Yep.
That's the way it always is.
It's an internal battery in it. Yeah. Unless we go with a different one, I guess, so we could look at something beyond the Omni.
Right.
Or the iPro, sorry, it's the iPro is the one that we have. The SR2, I know, has a brass base and then it has a top, but I don't know if the top is where the battery is located. That'll be something we'll work with Sensus when we make that. Yeah. And we'll be looking at a new base station. It's at least another 6 or 7 years out in the capital asset plan. So we have some time before some big projects are going to be happening.
So well, it's nice that we're staying on top of things. Mm-hmm. You know, Michael inherited that mess at CCWD because they hadn't done anything for a decade, right? I mean, as far as taking care of the infrastructure.
And with the way that regulations are changing, I could see something that's not hasn't been talked about might come up, whether they force us to start filtering for PFOSs or they come up with the new MCL for iron and manganese, which is our biggest part that we filter out at the treatment plant. If we have to add something to the treatment plant, that'll probably be the only unknown in there right now, depending on what the EPA and the state decides on these things.
How expensive or something like that, but just roughly?
I looked at a couple charcoal filters. Those were about $10,000 to start, but then we have to have specialized plumbing made for it to make it squeeze into areas of the treatment plant.
And it's relatively more finer.
It should be, yeah. Don't quote me on that one.
You have to add another filter and you add another process.
Yeah, and so it'd be post-filter. Yes.
So it's not like...
It won't just be buying it and putting it in, that's for sure. We have to do a study and we have to get approval from the state.
Probably not... The cost isn't, but the downsides on the other steps may be an issue.
Yes.
Because you may have to redesign the whole...
We'd have Filtronics come in. We don't have charcoal. It's a granular. It's like small garnets.
Yeah.
They may be able to even add a layer in there, but charcoal, just like all those type of filters, need to be changed fairly often. So to go back into the main filter and remove 8 inches to 12 inches of charcoal off the top would be, I think, a lot harder than we add in an area with cartridges that we can pull out and put new ones in, or if it's a backwash system, we have that in there. It'll be something that we'll have to bring up to Filtronics and have them design it, and then we'll have to do consulting on it, then get approval from our state before we can add anything. So it will be a process if we have to go down that road, but that's an if right now.
Yeah, we would want to buy a process that's already been proven by somebody else that we don't have to.
Correct. We don't want to be the guinea pig. Yes.
So not going to make the first time burner, right?
Yes. So that's probably the only big expenditure beyond that. Everything did go up a little bit on here, I would say, with insurance and taxes. Right. There's and not by a lot, but yeah.
Yeah, not.
31,000.
Yeah. The committee discussed this, the budget, mm-hmm. last week as well. We went through it, and then the only two open items were what compensation increases were going to be, and then, you know, what the increase in the water rates were going to be. But aside from that, we went through it. Mm-hmm. All the interesting come looked a little low to me. I think you went back and researched it, and you bumped that up a little bit, right? Yeah. So that's been reflected in here. So rates have been approved. So it's just, I think the only thing that's open right now on here in my mind is just flushing through the final comp numbers once that comes to being.
So we would be just, if everybody likes what's on the budget, we'd be looking to approve the budget pending the compensation part, which will be later today. We'll discuss that.
So we need a motion to approve the budget.
So moved.
Oh, sorry.
The second?
John.
All right, we need to vote.
Bill Cover?
Well, I'm going to say aye.
Jeff Jones?
Aye.
Craig Lutt?
Yes.
John Dashter?
Aye.
Sharon Tobias?
Aye.
I heard an extra I in there somewhere.
I think Annalise voted.
So the bottom line for a simple-minded guy like me looks like the budget's up about $50,000 for the year total. The bottom line, total budget.
Just one truck.
But we haven't included, there's no money included for an increase for the general manager.
If you look at, he's talking about the bottom total budget. Last year was 1849, and this year we're projecting 1890 plus general manager.
Yeah, it'll go up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like $1,000.
That went right over.
You know, you're being recorded.
Anyway, so the budget will go up. It'll be more than $50,000 when we're done. That there is a lot. I mean, up here, there's in the income, it went up by $75,000
for last year.
Yeah.
So those are the things that caught my eye.
The big one, the big change would be the distribution. Because we're not repairing the tank again, that's 60,000 went down out of that. But then we added the 50,000 to the general expense for the vehicle, so that was kind of a big swap. The other one is up into personnel.
So I'm going to ask a question. You have a question about, maybe it's not a question, 8,500 for a meeting and membership, right? And or is that postage? No, it depends on election mailings.
Yeah, because we put it under meeting and membership, the postage and everything that goes with those mailings, we just put it under meeting and membership.
Okay.
So it depended. I know you like it when we mail out the call for candidates and we mail out the packet, but we had discussed maybe doing another mailing to see, you know, to remind people to vote.
It kind of just depends on what we get in the terms
all right,
of votes.
All right.
Since you're
but there, would this cover if we had to do a third mailing for election?
Yeah, because we would do in-house copies and then just send it out.
Versus the DDS doing it.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Does anyone have any questions about the budget or concerns? So. Are we voted on?
We already approved it, yeah.
So the next item is our Ebbets Pass accounting.
We're in review quotes. So Lauren from Atherton and Associates, who did our review last year, is giving us a quote of $11,200, which is pretty much what they said last year. I think last year was 11. So to do the year in review. And then Ebbets Pass Accounting does our taxes, and she's saying $1,000 to do both taxes. I also need her to do the depreciation schedule for me, so it'll be slightly over that, but not more than probably a couple $100 more.
Okay. Thank you.
Those are my quotes.
Do we need to approve?
No, that's how much it costs them to do. All she does is the taxes.
No, but what would you approve
$1,000? Well, I think,
we don't need to approve that.
I think the board needs to, because it's not an audit, but it's a review. It's outside.
Atherton, we should approve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's over 10.
Yeah, the tax, well, plus it's. They're kind of our auditor.
Right. No, we should approve that one. Right. No, I meant the Ebbets Pass.
Yeah. I don't think we need to approve that one.
Okay.
It's just the expenditure's too low, I think.
Okay.
Okay. So we need a motion to approve the Atherton year end quote.
Need a motion. Second.
All motion for it. Okay.
That's 4A that we're
4A. We're voting to
second.
All right. Thank you.
Right. Bill Cover.
Nay.
Jeff Jones.
Yes.
Craig Lutz.
Yes.
John Dashner.
Something's in surgery.
Yep. Oh, no.
Sharon.
Yes. We got four.
Four. I'm not going to count.
That's
yeah.
All right. So motion carries. Their quote has been approved.
All right, let me get back. Sorry. Nope.
We're moving through them.
Employee handbook.
Oh, yeah.
So we would That's an amazing job, Kathy.
Thank you.
I read the whole damn thing. It's why I came.
It took me a few days to type it. We need to go over the changes.
I looked for my John Deere handbook. I can't find it. I was going to, you know, will it to you. Great job.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Let's see. So page 26. Let me get down there. All right. So do you want me to just bring up each red section? Sorry, I don't have. I apologize. I don't have the pages of. Not very organized.
Let me get there.
There's the first one. We just wanted to change it to, we could change, leave it with 1/2 to 1 hour, but we only do a 1/2 hour. So we wanted that to be reflected in here. Mm-hmm. So that was the first change. Let's see. I'm sorry.
We should ask if there's any objections to that.
Is there any objections?
The field is not objecting to it.
Okay, so here's the overtime. We broke it. It used to be in one category for over 8 hours and 40 in a week. So that we just kind of changed the wording and spread it out into two additional paragraphs and then added some words.
This was also Gavin and what was his name? Was it?
I was about to comment on that. Thanks, Tyler. I am a general counsel, and I stay away from employment law because it changes each year. So we have a contact that specializes in employment law, and I had him review the entire handbook and make some edits as well. So you had a specialist review this handbook.
So that's a lot of the changes we see in here are from him. Okay.
So he gets us up to date.
Yeah.
I know there's a length of days with the OSHA. And you can't have somebody work 24 hours straight.
Right.
So what your council's telling us, 12 hours is kind of what they're going to rate for one day of work.
Can you speak up, please? Sorry.
He's basically saying that it looks like that the work day is about 12 hours maximum because there are some things that say that you can't work more than 24. Of course, in what we do, they would just have the next day off or something along those lines or a partial day off.
Well, it's because continuous work becomes a safety issue if somebody's.
Yeah,
like a truck driver can only drive 8 hours a day or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
If I send them home, you don't have water for the next 24 hours.
We're not going to tell you. Whatever you have in writing, whatever you have in writing, you got to follow.
So. And I've done it a few times as manager, but that's.
I mean, you can declare an emergency or something.
It's usually the plowing. It's an emergency.
Right.
When Billy couldn't get out of his house, and I had to plow because I was the only one that could get out of my house, and he was stuck. And then it was about day two, and I couldn't stay up anymore. I had to go home and go to sleep. He actually walked all the way from the top of Meadowlawn and met me out on Pine Drive as far as I could get to him. That was when we had a really bad storm. The trees were falling down everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a very, very tough time, but. I mean, we've always made it through it, and we try to work with each other as far as the field goes with us.
All right. So, but for voting and having something in writing, those statements are consistent with what our interpretation of the current regulations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Federal and state. Yeah. Okay.
My only question on this, and it says the workday begins at 12:01 a.m. and ends 24 hours later. I get that, but. What if someone started work at 6 o'clock at night and then had to go all night long past midnight? And then he worked 15 hours. He gets overtime.
Yeah.
But if you read that literally, the work day starts. Does it even matter? Do we even need that language in there? Would a work day
Yeah, I don't know if the work day, that would be maybe a better question for Gavin. If somebody worked consecutively, regardless of 12 a.m.,
or maybe I'm 16 hours.
I think you got a good point there. I would just say.
If that person worked from 6 all the way till 1 a.m., we wouldn't get off the shift.
I would just say workday begins at the time of the shift. Something, well, I don't know, but it's too hard to rewrite now, but I think Craig has a valid point about having 24 hours later. If he can delete that sentence without having a snowball effect, I would delete it.
You want to ask Gavin and get back to me on that, or just delete it?
How about we have the board give us direction to reach out to Eddie with a simple clarification to make sure that that's not a requirement.
Then we vote to take it out if it's not an requirement.
Yes.
If it's a requirement, then we leave it in.
Right.
All right. Then we don't have to come back.
Maybe need some other sentence to clarify. I don't know.
Yeah. In the event.
Yeah. I mean, it's similar to the definition of a week. Like when the federal government says you have to do something in 2 weeks, does that mean 10 days, 10 working days, or 14 days, right? 30 days is 30 days a month. It's not 30 business days. So, but it's never written in the law that way. So it's always open.
Okay.
Not to pontificate, but I enjoy that every now and then.
We can get this clarified. This is something
that
the handbook is needed shaping.
These things come back and bite you.
Right.
All right, so just to clarify, we're making sure we're going to check with Eddie regarding the language. Workday begins at 12:01 a.m. and ends 24 hours later, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, we don't mind that language. It just causes a problem because I don't know if you heard what I said earlier. Let's say someone came into work at 6 o'clock at night and then worked until, say, worked for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The way this reads, at midnight, first 6 hours, boom, that day's over. And then theoretically after 2 in the morning, you should be getting overtime. If you read that.
Yeah, no. I see where you're coming from. I'll ask them.
So whatever the fix for that is.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Clarifying. I think those are good. Yeah. Deletions are good.
Yeah.
It's nepotism. We should delete that whole section.
Formal. We need to add formal performance evaluation. We can change and wording. Yeah, they changed putting in stops of children's law to blood, more general terms.
It was our consultant's advice.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, this is all, most of this is what
standard text, yeah. Okay. Boilerplate. I like it.
Jeff pulled that crap.
Jeff, we should be blood brothers. One of us would have to resign.
No, this is for employees. You guys don't get paid.
There was just a lot of stuff.
We're taking that sentence out. We're just going. If you leave, you left. Reduction in force. We're kind of changing the wording. Again, this was from Gavin's associate. He added this is the prohibited conduct section. So we just added a couple of words here and then one more at the bottom.
I can't believe we had to add poor judgment.
Yeah, that seems like.
What is that for anyway?
That's for the code of conduct. You can't have poor judgment.
That's very opinionated, right?
Well, that doesn't have to be subjective.
Is that what they wanted?
That's what they added. Yeah.
Yeah, but that kind of leaves it like if anybody makes a mistake, that would be poor judgment. In hindsight, any mistake is poor judgment. But at the time, it may have been good judgment. No, anyway, I'm just saying it's kind of. I'm not sure how that would apply in a labor dispute or a personnel dispute, because it's.
Well, if it was a pattern and it was a problem, it certainly.
Yeah,
gives if you documented it.
So can we ask that to have that one?
Just check
if they think it's okay to remove that poor judgment.
I mean, the notion makes sense. If someone's consistently making bad judgments and it's causing big problems, well, right. You know, that's.
Wasn't that the same with unsatisfactory performance?
I mean, and poor judgment could be as easy as he keeps putting the truck in the ditch.
Oh,
he's making bad decisions.
Or not cleaning the coffee pot on Tom.
Cookie
crumbs in the
break. It's all subjective. It can just be
And just to add, and not from personal experience, wink, wink, perhaps leaving a vehicle running with it unlocked. I've seen that before on multiple occasions, things of that nature.
Yeah, well, it's putting the company at risk.
Yeah. All right.
It's anything to put you at risk is could be called poor judgment.
And do we really have 13 paid days off? There's 10 and then three floaters.
Floating holidays.
13.
Yeah, we probably should bump it up to 16.
And 9 at Deer.
Yeah, Veterans Day off?
Oh, yeah. That's old school, yeah, Jeff.
Well,
we're talking like that.
Water company.
All right.
So here's the next one.
So this kind of just falls into the like the guys that are there's somebody here on Veterans Day. There's always somebody in the field. They try to rotate those, and so what works for the field and myself helping fill in that position.
Mm-hmm. So we want to change it to they can either have holiday pay or take another day off.
Is there sometimes where people just said, well, I'm not doing anything, I'll just work that day and then I'll just keep working my normal shift.
Right.
So that holiday they would receive.
Okay.
It has happened in the past, and that was always something Dave allowed Billy to write.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh, here. He just added some hours here for the vacation time. He wanted to add hours, not just days. Just for clarification purposes.
Tracking it as such.
Yes, I have been tracking his hours.
So you have something if they get sick while they're on vacation? We don't have that, do we?
Well, you just
no, it happened to me. The chemical union of the United States, the American Chemical Workers Union. They had that in there.
Go
on vacation and then you get a doctor slip that you had to go to the doctor while you're on vacation. You know, no, they do that. I mean, they're crazy.
We wanted to add, you don't get 5 consecutive days. You just take them when you need. State law says 5 days within 3 months of the death. So we have to change it to that. Okay. And I have a stepchild, so I wanted to make sure that if something happens to my stepchild,
yeah, but you're a legal custodian, right?
I was. They're in their 30s now.
My stepkids.
But I was their mommy for a long time.
Yeah.
Mine are in their 50s and they're still pain in the ass.
That never changes.
Under the workers' comp section, and there were just some things that should not be in here.
You see a lot of stricken.
So this was Gavin's associate that went through this section.
All right. Any deletions are okay with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The more you say, the more to criticize.
So we're just taking. It was basically saying if there's room after your workers' comp leave, we'll take you back. Well, you can't do that. If they went on workers' comp, you have to take them.
So it was redundant. It was, yeah, so we needed to change that. Okay, that sounds fair. And then they added a couple things here, and I think that's it. The standby we already did. Yeah, that was it. And then I included it. It looks nice, actually. It looks nice as I did. Well, I don't see anything I disagree with, so all right, just for that one question.
Yeah. About the working day.
A motion to approve it pending, however he tells us to change that one sentence.
Move to adopt the employee handbook with one change if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
I need a second.
Second.
Right. Bill Cooper.
Yay.
Jeff Jones?
Yay.
Craig Lutz?
Yay.
John Dashner?
Yes.
Karen Tobias?
Yes.
We're going to have some fun in here.
It's incredible what we do for fun.
So you're just all wet, Jeff.
I know what you're doing, Jerry. You've got to find a turn.
So we entered into a mutual aid agreement with CCWD some years back. Some of you are here when we did that. UPUD reached out to me, which is Murphy's Water, and wanted to know if we wanted to have one with them as well. This all kind of came about after that fire happened down in Vallecito and was coming into the back of Murphy's, and they were really struggling and scrambling around to get help for the water company. So these agreements just allow us and them to help each other during times of emergency. Now, if we both have an emergency, of course, we can't leave to go help somebody. But if it's down the hill or it's up here, they would be willing to send somebody up. We would be willing to send somebody down, as well as it talks about reimbursing each other for those costs.
Tyler, so when they do the emergency thing, don't we have like a central command person that
OES would be our central command.
If right. It was so that everyone would technically report to the central command. So yes. They would.
And the OES offers services for us as well.
If they told us, even if we didn't have an agreement and they wanted to use some of these resources, they could do it.
Yes.
Okay. But I'm okay with the agreement. I just wanted to see if that was my thinking was correct.
No, your thinking is correct. We would just be reaching out to OES and then OES would be reaching to them. And of course, then there would be the whole. Well, how are we going to get reimbursed if we bring our back truck up to
you? Well, I think, John, you got more experience than you brought.
Well, this could be less than an OES thing. Like, say someone's main.
No, this is just.
Their main blue. Right. OES may not get involved in that.
No, they wouldn't.
They need help, so they call us up and say, hey, you got some people in a truck and a tractor? Help us.
Right. Yeah.
And that's probably the biggest case that we would use with them or with CCWD would be, Moran. 40 feet of pipe exploded.
If it was a fire or earthquake,
he was using the emergency as an example. I was just thinking that was. I agree. Like, if they need to borrow our new truck,
It's nothing like that. It's nothing. It's all about helping each other.
You're all good.
It would just be something that if we could.
We also need the legal council go through it and hear what their recommendations.
Whose comments are these? Ours or
legal?
Yeah, he put a liability clause in there. Yeah. I saw the liability clause. And then I just have one really minor. So the first sentence, don't you put the address right after in the top paragraph instead of down below? I mean, like it says, go all the way up to the top, You say you have to define where. I've always, you'd say Blue Lake Springs Water Company located at, Blake Road or whatever it is, and then
Well, that's just read down.
No, no, but I think you need to have it.
You're saying you really put it in that first sentence.
Yeah, because I think it needs to be there. Ask our attorney there if that matters.
You can. It's not atypical to include the address of each party in the introduction paragraph, but I believe that there is that same information provided later in the agreement, right, Tyler?
Yeah, just down right there. It was all the.
All right, so a lot of companies have multiple locations, so you really want to put the address in the first paragraph where the person signed is. So, but if he says it's okay, it's okay.
There's so many different locations depending on where.
That's why you put it in the person that's signing it. Like everybody has to have a headquarters. So ours would be.
That's it right here. Is there's their headquarters and there's our headquarters.
But does it just say a request for assistance, or does that say that's where our headquarters are? That's two different questions.
Any such request shall be submitted as follows. So
right, that's request. Where they'd send it, but it doesn't say that's the headquarters.
So we can add it to the introduction paragraph. I will say that this agreement, it's a form that's used by many different entities for mutual aid. But if it's the board's direction, we can include the.
So I'll just withdraw it then if you think it's boilerplate, right?
Okay.
It's just if you get into a litigation thing, it's like who you have to identify who's who.
I think it is identified.
It doesn't. Well, it is, and it depends on how nerdy your attorneys are. They're like me. They're going to be nerdy.
One thing that I would like to clarify, I'm seeing now actually on the screen, it says if to the agency. Mm-hmm. I would advise that we just clarify the party correct. If the agency seems a bit repetitive since it's two different parties here. So that's the one change I would recommend that we change here. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Would you change it to just take out agency or the whole sentence, the whole phrase?
Can you go up to the beginning of the... See, I would just put, instead of agency, I'd put UPUD and BLS, MWC.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of agency.
Okay.
That's so easy. That's the one, the two edits right there that I would recommend.
Okay.
That's easy.
Anybody didn't see anything else, so that was all right. Yeah.
I thought it really was the exact same one that Michael probably gave it to them, because it was the same one I received from Michael before.
Well, you should go and know
great.
You know how
the other party racing this year, we're going to give it to them. They're the ones who gave it to me and asked if we would be willing to join into this with them. I said I would have to run it by the board. And that was, gosh, she gave it back to me in September.
Yeah. Okay.
They've been waiting for my answer.
All right. So we need a motion to approve it.
I'll make a motion.
With a minor edit to the text.
Right.
With a non-material edit to the text.
You know, I wrote minor.
Okay. I want to make it as complicated as possible.
I just want to make you erasing.
I'm just taking notes here, just making sure you're doing your job as our leader.
I don't get paid enough. We need a second.
Second.
All right, thank you, Joe. Get what you
paid
for.
Bill Cover.
Yeah,
exactly.
Jeff Jones.
Yes.
Craig Luck.
Are you going to set up
serious? John Dasher.
Yes.
Karen and Tobias.
Yes. Okay, so motion carries. So when it's all changed, you'll send out the final copy for everyone. Okay, great.
Maybe and we'll also do that with the handbook too.
Yeah, that would be really nice. Yeah.
And if somebody has one at home, you'll want to have one. Okay.
We sent out our last billings the 5th of 6th, the end of October, and the total was $287,107.29. And from that, the metered water was $9,165.15. At the current time, we have $141,613.77 owed by the 26 liens we have outstanding. And out of those 26, two are almost paid off, so that's a good thing. Anything else there, Kathy, I missed?
Perfect, but I would like to, with the general manager's permission, in January, start sending out the water shutoff notices to some of those liens. I've got like 11 houses that we can send, and we just, we've been busy, but I would like to do that.
Yeah, we'll have to go through that process and all up board. Make sure that we're up to date on that with Gavin, making sure that we go through. That's I know that we updated it once before, but I want to make sure that we're part of the law when we started doing that, because
where are we
with the water shutoff protection act.
I'm hoping that most of them will call on the
Can we just have one conversation? We'll do that.
Yeah,
that's my goal, is that they'll want to be on payment plan.
Yeah, and that's what we've always told them, was if they would just come in and set up a payment plan, we wouldn't be meeting them or shutting them off. So hopefully this will force them in to come in and set something up. The hardest ones will always be the bare locks.
Yeah. The bare locks I don't want to deal with those.
There's nothing. Yeah. We can go lock it off, and they're not even hooked up. So there's just a spud sitting on the property.
So I asked Kathy the other day about the conservator that came to the last meeting.
Did he
say anything about it?
No. I've emailed him twice and have had no response.
I think you're just going through
motion.
The motion during the meeting.
Right. Yeah. So I think we think next step is he takes it to the judge.
He had mentioned that in a previous phone call, that sometimes a judge will award. Mm-hmm. So
we haven't received anything regarding the next step.
Yeah.
So
this wasn't a probate thing, right? I think he was just a conservator trying to go through everything, I gather.
Yeah.
Yeah. And get a lower rate.
Yeah.
For what Mr. Dean.
Or
at
least asked.
Right.
Correct.
Somebody drove by there and said that their house was getting cleaned up. So I was wondering if it was maybe going to go on the market.
I don't know, but that the house, for sure, on the first inspection was a disaster.
Yeah.
And the second inspection, it was totally cleaned up.
So they paid to have they paid to have it clear, the lot clear for.
The cabin look wooden, you recall, or just like
they're not even hooked to the main. They've never even hooked to the main out front, and it is one that has been locked off for quite some time. It was locked off when I got it.
The first lien was done in 2010.
Because we connected to that main in 2010, 2011.
Greensboro, right near Bill's house.
What are they doing? Bringing out water when they come in?
Nobody's coming.
They're not firing.
So where is it? On Green?
There's a bunch of stairs, and you got to hike there and you'll get to that house too.
We'll talk later.
Okay.
All right.
I'll get
The mutual aid agreement.
Mutual aid, yeah.
Right.
Both of those. So I'm going to add those as reportable board items.
Yeah. Okay. And you're also going to send out the budget.
When correct. The final, updated everyone. Budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to make sure.
So,
okay. Is there only one item to discuss on the budget? That's personnel.
Employee compensation.
Yeah, there's two items in the executive.
Well, he's talking about two. I think he in for the budget.
Oh yes, right? Yes. Yeah. Sorry for the budget.
So, if I understood correctly, I shouldn't put words in here. So. Do we have to make a motion to go into executive session, Gavin?
You don't have to make a motion. You just have to announce that you'll be going into executive session.
All right. At 3:13, we're going into executive session. So we had our executive session, and the personnel matter was discussed and no action at this time, and the employee compensation was discussed and approved. Thank you for your time, and we need a motion to adjourn again. Yeah, no, he says no, the boss says no. So thank you very much, and we'll see you on December 5th, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Gavin.
Gavin, I'll be in touch with you sometime after the first of the year for the water shutoff stuff, so.
Okay, perfect. And I emailed Eddie about the question on the handbook already, so hopefully you can get back to me in the next week or so, and I can give you an answer.
Okay.
All right. Nice seeing everybody.
All right.
Thank you.